You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And oh. Go ahead, sorry.
You're going to throw it at me.
Well, we're going to throw it at you this time. Here we go. Ready?
All right. And I'm Bruce.
We're going to just go all over again. I'm going to actually redo an intro. I never redo intros, but here we go.
All right. There we go.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And I'm Bruce.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi.
Bruce, you're Ryan's dad, right? This is a very special guest.
Well, we hadn't had the paternity test, but I've been told, and they both look alike, so if she cheated, same guy.
That's true. Yep. That's my dad.
I'm so stoked to have your dad on the podcast. So this is payback for a while ago on Mother's Day when we had your mom on the podcast. Your dad really wanted to be on the show, and I was totally into it. I think this is going to be a great episode. I'm looking forward to this. The only thing I'm bummed about is that you guys didn't bring Beaner.
Well, you know, the bean wasn't eating for a few days, but then she's a fat little thing. And we were kind of concerned about her, but she doesn't do the car rides well. She pants a lot.
Yeah. My dogs are terrible in car rides, too. Mm-hmm. Well, hi, guys. So what are we talking about today, Ryan?
Oh, we will be talking about Oh, Brother Art Thou, which is a movie you picked out, right, Dad?
One of them, yeah.
Yeah, I asked for two movies, or I asked for movies you wanted to talk about, and it was Oh, Brother, Art Thou, and the other one was... Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, it was Army of Darkness.
Oh, Army of Darkness. Army of Darkness. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I also had a few others, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, okay, well, I got those two.
We were going to get them down the road.
Yeah.
No problem.
Depending on how this one goes. You may or may not be asked back. Depending on where it goes, yeah. I don't know.
This might be the episode you get more than one thumbs up, you know?
I think so, yeah. Okay. We're definitely shooting for that.
It's either that or you're going to get a lot of mail. I don't know. Could go
either way.
That's true.
I'm fine with any response on this episode. So I guess I want to open things up, man. And Bruce, I guess I'm curious. When did you realize that Ryan wasn't going to be captain of the football team?
You were getting there quick.
Jesus Christ.
He got there pretty quick, you know, and he was just a toddler and out and about. I'd toss him a ball and it bounce off him. You know, there was never an inkling to make an effort there, you know.
So, Ryan, do you catch the ball like George Michael?
Ryan episode and not like a roast.
Do you catch like George Michael when he gets things tossed at
him? Still doing that, huh?
So no, like I don't know what was it like growing up with Ryan as a kid. I want to know this.
Ryan, when he first started walking, he was a hellion.
Yeah,
he was nonstop into everything, and you know he was just you know a boy, and that was all cool. And then the growing up part, you know, he did school and did it. A good kid. He's a good kid. He started off wrong, got right, and well, it didn't take him long. You know, he excelled at school, liked to learn, liked people. You know, he's very charitable with people.
He's a very people
believe
person.
I believe he had a note sent home in the earlier grades about groping a young woman in line. But, you know.
I still don't think I did it.
No, we got the note.
I know, but you have the note. I think I was framed or that was a lie. I don't think I ever groped her butt. Because for the longest, because it was Nikki Helms.
Well,
it was Nikki Helms, and we had two Nikki Helms in our school. So when I got in trouble, I thought it was the other Nikki Helms. I didn't even know the right Nikki Helms that was accusing me.
So I think there's like six times in there. Frame Andrew, job.
Well, that's why you never.
Helms?
Yeah, exactly. You'll just do a beep.
It was Nikki.
That's why we never grope from behind.
Yeah, man.
You got to make it personal.
Yeah, at least if you're going to go down,
that
go down.
Surely must have been what it was. Like, there were a few people behind, and like somebody groped and ran off, and I'm just saying they're dumb little mean, just like doop de doop. Huh? What happened?
Well, at least you didn't grope an onion.
So wait, like, what? How old were you?
Is that like a euphemism? I like. Six, seven, like I was pretty young when it happened.
Six
or seven.
Yeah.
Who was accusing 7 year olds of groping butts?
A 7 year old girl. Like,
yeah, apparently she must have said something to her parents, and then I got called to the office about it.
Like, I could see it in today's culture, but in the years we grew up, like, what?
Yeah, it would have been like early 90s.
I don't know. I was quite surprised too. That was all that don't ask, don't tell stuff.
Yeah, you know? Man. Like, that seems so out of place for like a school system in the 90s. I figured they'd just not mention it ever again. More like.
Yeah.
Sweeping under the rug. But yeah, got the note. And then there was his great effort at, you know, going in the boys' room, trying to urinate to the ceiling.
Oh, we're just
going to
hit all the greatest hits, aren't we?
He tried to pee on the ceiling?
Well, you know, to see how high they could shoot it up the wall.
Yeah, and I was the only one that got caught.
He was the only one that got caught.
Oh, that's the worst. So it wasn't just your idea, but you're the one that got caught.
And after that, they stopped, you know, they stopped the apple juice at lunch because they held too much urine.
Oh, my God. This is the best. So peeing up walls.
I'm already sweating.
I don't think I ever peed up walls in school. I got in some trouble at school, but it was mostly for fighting.
Nah, see, I never fought.
You never fighter?
I was not a fighter, really. I don't think I ever got in trouble for fighting.
No, that wasn't one of them.
Nope, just peeing and groping, apparently.
Yeah, pretty much. He had his own little perversion going. It worked.
I was
going
to say, so he's now a full-grown sexual deviant, but it obviously started young.
It did.
Okay,
it did.
Good to know.
The seeds were implanted very, very young. With the finger.
Take your head.
Well,
I'm
sorry.
Wow. I don't know. Really? Well, as long as you don't smell it afterwards, you know, because you know, it's kind of telltale. You know, who am I with, really?
Oh God!
Oh man! So, I guess what like did you play sports at all, Ryan? Like
did I did.
Like basketball, t-ball, all that
was
shit.
Basketball, t-ball, soccer, karate. Technically, taekwondo. Am I missing one? I think that was about it.
That's about it.
Yeah, because we didn't have hockey or anything.
Well, he wanted to be on a toboggan team. Problem was, there's no snow in Carolina.
Just like there's no snow in Jamaica.
But they made it work, you see.
I think this is it.
He just didn't get the ethnic money.
I think he just... Oh, what is that? I think he just remembered Cool Runnings. God damn it, Dad.
So, like, I don't know. Like, you did basketball. Was it, like, boys club shit or just, like...
No, it was. I was on a team. We were the Western Union Lakers.
It's youth leagues.
Yeah.
It's countywide.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. So all the towns would get together and they'd sponsor teams.
Because I think I had probably similar growing up in that aspect. Mm-hmm. I was always a giant nerdy kid too. I hated all that shit.
Yeah.
The worst one I hated was baseball. I hated playing baseball every summer. And I would sit in the outfield. They'd always put me in the outfield because I didn't pay attention because I had ADD too. And all I remember is I would pick grass or I would put my mitt on my face and pretend to be Darth Vader.
And T-ball, he was playing with his little cars at third base in the dirt. You know? But, you know, the attention deficit at that age.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sports wasn't his thing. You know,
I feel you, buddy. It wasn't mine either.
It was through elementary, and then after elementary, there was not a single sport.
He has more of a creative level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were going through a bunch of my kid stuff today, and that's all I would do is draw and write stories of monsters and aliens.
I love to draw monsters as a kid, too, man.
That's all I did. I also, my report cards were always like A, B, honor rolls, all good, and my dad was like, you were the only child who would get grounded when you had honor roll, because you'd always have... really, really bad behavior marks.
Yeah.
So I was just very talkative.
I can understand not being able to read, not being able to write, not being able to add, but damn, shut up and listen. Yeah, it shouldn't be a hard thing.
Ryan's a people person, man. He just wanted to talk to his friends.
He blossomed when he should have been learning.
Yeah. And now he's...
I learned.
Now he's over-blossomed.
I was going to say he's more gone into himself.
Oh, he's gone back introvert?
Yeah, he's very introverted now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember I was in kindergarten and I got in trouble because me and the kid behind me would play He-Man, where I was He-Man and he was Skeletor. And then I don't know how I skipped this because the next year that kid got put in special ed. But I didn't.
Oh, I hear you.
So that could have totally altered my entire educational career. Mm-hmm.
Brings me back to my kindergarten days. First day of kindergarten. Now, I grew up in Jersey, right?
Okay, awesome.
So we walked to school, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, 5 years old, first day of school. Well, kind of made it about halfway. I stopped to play with my friend instead of going to school. And, well, that didn't go over well, but lesson learned.
Did you get the truant officers?
Never bring your lunch back home.
Yeah?
I don't get it.
You bring your lunch back home, they know you didn't eat it, want to know why you didn't eat it at lunch.
Yeah. Oh,
and it just led down a slippery slope.
So in Jersey, what was that? Public school, were they called like PS and numbered, or is that more a New York thing?
No, it depends on what part of Jersey it is. I was PS1 from Paterson, New
really?
Jersey.
Really? Okay, yeah. So it was a PS1 school. I always thought that sounded cool. I don't know why, but...
Well, you can't put numbers on things anymore, you know, because it's a competition thing, nobody left behind.
I guess, yeah. Everybody's got to be named. My elementary school was Lincoln. We were named after Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, that's nice.
But we were the Lincoln Trojans. So we were hearing condom jokes before we knew what condoms really were.
Yeah. But you all laughed because you thought it was cool. Yeah. You didn't want anybody else to know.
Exactly.
You didn't know.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the way the world works. You learn, and you fake it till you make it.
There you go. It's just like, you know, you got all them hormones running. Nobody knows how to open a bra. Life is unfair sometimes.
It is. It is indeed. Well, boys, I'd like to start talking about this movie, I guess.
Sure.
Okay, enough small talk. All right.
Ryan, take us into this.
All right. Are we going to do a bumper?
Oh, of course. I think we're going to do a bumper, and we're going to have the best song from the movie as the bumper.
Which is...
Well, what do you think it is?
The Three Women Singing.
It's very close, but no.
No, it's Man of Constant Sorrow, right?
Of course
it has
is.
To be that one. That's the song.
Yeah, and that song is... pretty fucking kick-ass. It's one of the most popular songs, easily the most popular on the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple versions. I think my favorite version is the one they do at the end of the movie.
Oh,
He dances?
Yeah.
He gets that dance going on?
Yeah, and they've got like the extended
totally
melodic breaks.
It up. I like that.
That I think that's my favorite version. They've got a couple, but I think that's the one I would like to hear.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
All right, so we're going to hear it?
Yeah, we're going to hear it right now.
How cool is that?
So that was, of course, Man of Constant Sorrow. It's played, I think it shows up twice in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Once when they record it, and then at the end when it
when
shows
they have,
up.
Yeah,
it's the big surprise
is it,
reveal.
What do you say, it's an election thing?
It's I some guess kind of-
it was partied election thing, and then, you know, it all rolled into how it ended. But,
yeah,
you know, it's they were popular. Everybody wanted the popular because, you know, the little man thing wasn't getting it. Though humorous, because everybody wanted a little man after his little political speech about the little man. Because I liked that. That was pretty transparent to what happens nowadays.
He was a friend of the little man.
He's a friend of the little man. Little man, little man. And then, you know, of course, the fat guy wanted to get a midget. But, hey.
Yeah, and then, but of course, you know, the great, great Pappy O'Daniel was like, we're not going to follow him. Uh-huh. I loved Pappy O'Daniel. I think this movie, it's so full of just unique characters played by great character actors.
And stereotyped to death, but good.
Yeah, it's...
Clooney. Everything was there. And I give George Clooney credit. That's one thing I really liked him in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he went over the top because he kind of talked over the top, thought he was all this and that. And,
well, he's definitely one of those people that tries to play that he's way more educated and intelligent than he is. Because there's a couple times where he's using big words in the complete wrong context.
Wrong context.
Yeah.
He just buried them on.
Yeah, and he just barrels through and everybody else.
One of my favorite scenes is at the beginning, you know, when they get on the little troll car with the old black guy. And, you know, he's talking about, you know, you can't see, you don't have a name. Well, that's the reason you haven't found gainful employment, you know. And that just kind of sets up the show. And, it, you know, I just, it's just a laugh fest all the way through, I think.
And I think that's a testament to this movie. Like, and the fact, one thing that I know about Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is that it is one of those rare movies where it doesn't matter age or creed or, like, everybody loves this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it offends nobody.
It's one. It's like a universally loved picture. Like,
well, it's a classic movie because it's based off of Homer's Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you take very basic classical story and then you modern it up with
by backdating it.
Yeah, though. It's a fancy retelling,
you know. And it was kind of like the Old South, and they portrayed the Old South pretty much to a T.
Yeah, yeah,
but the way the movie flowed, you never got the sense of, you know, any, you know what I mean?
What?
I don't know what I mean. But that's okay. No, but they portrayed it in a way that you couldn't take offense to any of it.
Well, and they were very good about that. Like, you know, they could have easily fallen into the stereotype trap and played up all those different angles, but they didn't. They were definitely present in the film, but they weren't ever portrayed in an offensive way.
Exactly.
Like, it was very tastefully done, and it's handled very well. And I think that's more of a tribute to the Coens themselves. Again, they understand filmmaking and writing to a level that a lot of other directors just don't get.
Exactly. Yeah. They brought just enough humor into it to take the edge out of everything.
Yeah. And I mean, these are the guys that make some incredibly violent and offensive movies too on the other end of the spectrum. And I don't know if that lends the credence to give them the ability to make a movie like this that is so much more lighthearted, and it just...
Yeah, you say it's like lighthearted, and it's really funny because there is a scene in this movie where they visit a Ku Klux Klan rally with a giant burning cross.
Yeah,
but you are right. Like, it still is like lighthearted even during that scene because, like, the villain's kind of comical, and then how that plays out in that election party at the end with the one officer or the one candidate at the thing. It's like, it's just, I don't know what I'm saying either.
Well, like, you know, the whole Ku Klux Klan scene was set up when they met Tommy, who sold his soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the gift.
Tommy and Johnson.
He sold his soul to the KKK. He was going to be the sacrifice.
Well, he sold it to the devil. The devil was getting his due.
With the KKK.
Yeah. KKK. So, exactly. And, you know, it kind of led up to that. And then, you know, they did the whole KKK scene. They really don't chant and do all that. But they made light of that, you know.
Well, that whole scene at that point was a big homage to The Wizard of Oz. Because that's why they do that weird chanting and all the silly dancing.
Okay. Are they supposed to be the Lollipop Guild? Or not the Lollipop, what are
but
they?
At the end when they get into the Witch's Castle and all the guards are going, oh, wee-o.
Right.
Oh,
it is like that. It almost verbatim.
I never pieced that. It's a big tribute, and that's what they did when they filmed the scene. We're like, yeah, let's just do Wizard of Oz.
Okay, cool. I didn't get that at all. Yeah. That's good. That's a good insight.
What? And again, I want to come back. I guess we're going to focus on the Klan rally a little more because
we don't have to.
Well, I want to though because another point I have about it again, the Coen brothers. Django Unchained, all right? So that's Tarantino, and that also has a Klan scene that attempts to be comical, but I don't think it hits nearly right like the Klan scene in this movie does.
Well, you see, you go with the Klan scene, I think the Django Unchained was more the slavery thing. I think they really pushed the slavery, not so much the Klan.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But there's...
Yeah, because Django Unchained, it was more like a detour. That little Klan section, it was just like a 20-minute little thing, and then it's done.
It was
done.
A little thing to decide, but you know,
the slavery thing
started at the beginning, and it kind of carried all the way through.
Mm-hmm. So it is a bigger payoff in Oh Brother when you do get that scene, and you've had this build up with John Goodman's character, and then you find out he's in there, and like you have the candidate and all that. And Tommy, as you said, selling his soul to the devil, and it's catching up. It all kind of leads to that scene, whereas Django is just like, well, this is about, you know, Christoph Waltz and Jamie Foxx's character, but we're going to stop over here real quick with Jonah Hill and all these people.
Don Johnson.
And then just come back, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but through that whole movie, though, it stayed with the slavery. He never equaled anybody. It was always, he was a black man, he was a slave.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where he went.
Yeah. And Oh Brother is not necessarily about that. Like, it's not it's not making any political stance.
No, no, not at all. No, outside of the fact that
it's all about a man, trying to get back with his wife and finding a wedding band.
That's why I think this movie is inoffensive and kind of plays to all audiences, because it doesn't take a stance. It is very matter of fact. Like, this is just how it was, and this is how it would have happened. And we're not going to, like, push agenda and push it one way or the other, or make them sympathetic. Like, this is just what it is, as opposed to Django, which is, you know, slavery's bad, which it is. I'm not saying it's not, but, like, the agenda is very much felt in Django.
Of the three main characters, Everett, Pete, and Delmar, who do you guys like the best?
I have to go with Everett.
You like Everett?
I like Everett. Any man think his buddy was a toad. you got to pull for him, you know?
Well, no, so, that was Delmar.
Do you know the name?
Oh, that was Delmar.
Yeah.
My bad.
Everett
my
is bad. George Clooney.
Everett's George Clooney. Delmar is... I can never remember this guy's name. Timothy Blake Nelson.
Yep.
And then... Who's the other one?
It's Pete.
Pete is John Turturro, right? It's definitely not John Turturro.
No, even though I do like him in the movie, he's not my favorite.
He's fine, but yeah, I don't think anybody would go for him.
Well, I think he's supposed to serve that perfect middleman. I think the lines are drawn between Everett and Delmar.
And he visited his family and he learned to properly spell run off.
Yeah, R-U-N-O-F-T.
And, you know, Clooney's saying, well, he was fixing to betray us. I mean, that just played that off.
I think I have to go with Everett.
You like Everett?
It's because, like, the one thing I always remember is, like, I'm a goddamn Dapper Dan man.
He is.
And just, like, it's like that. He has, I think, the best lines. But Delmar is also very sympathetic.
Yeah. Because, very sweet. He just played the stooge.
And that's what I agree with your dad.
Be honest with you, sometimes it's harder to play the stooge. What you're doing is you're enhancing what they're doing. So the stooge is a very pivotal thing.
Well, and the stooge, I think, is also key, because a lot of times we find ourselves relating to the stooge.
Right.
Like, and I always like the dumber, more simple characters in a lot of my media. Like, and Always Sunny, Charlie, I feel, is the absolute best character.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't go with Mac in that show.
Everybody thinks I would like Mac, and I do like the man. There's just something about Charlie, and it's always just the simpler one. And
and this is where you and I will always disagree. I go more towards, like, the straight man who's a little unhinged, and it's Dennis. Like, Dennis is my favorite. He especially, like, his later descent into madness in that show, I'm really digging.
No, I totally agree with you, Dad. I think Delmar is my favorite character too, because he's so sweet and he's so innocent and. Yeah.
He's the most relatable and likable character.
Absolutely.
You know, the fact that John Goodman, you know, just kind of, like, destroyed his buddy as a toad.
Oh, man. That whole scene when... I love when George Clooney doesn't even react when he hits him with a tree.
Yeah, and he just goes, with a tree.
What's going on here, Big Dan?
What's going on?
It's like, he's fucking robbing the hell out of you, dude. Why are you just laying there?
Yeah. This movie is great for that. Like, the Coen brothers can do comedic timing unlike any other directors. And I would say this is their best example of comedy.
I agree.
I think I might like Big Lebowski better, but I think this is a better example of comedy.
I showed my hand to you earlier. This is easily my favorite Coen brothers comedy. It's definitely, it's close to neck and neck for my favorite Coen.
What's your second? Is No Country?
No Country. I love No Country, man. They're very... This and No Country, I could just watch... I could go home right now and watch Oh Brother again and still have as good a time as this time.
Yeah.
No question.
Obviously, your favorite Coen Brothers movie, right?
You know why it'd be my obvious?
Why is that?
I don't know what other movies that guys did.
Well, like Fargo. Big Lebowski.
You know, I finally saw Fargo... earlier this year, I watched it.
Oh, really?
Mom.
Okay.
She kept talking about Fargo. Because I watched it once, and they're all like this hicky Minnesota people. It's like,
oh, don't you know?
And it was so slow, and I said, but I gave it a shot, and sat through it. The slow thing had a reason for it.
Exactly.
You know?
This is something Ryan and I agree on. We both really enjoy the slow burn movie where things take a long time, and then you have that giant payoff, and you're like, it gets you really invested in things.
I a lot of times I'll cut a movie off. I don't sit through the slow burn.
Yeah, it can be hard. It's not for everybody. Yeah. That's for sure. But it's, as my tastes have gone on, it is definitely a type of movie I gravitate more towards.
Mm-hmm.
Although it did not serve me well this year. We disagreed big on the big slow burn of the year.
I don't know if that's the big one, but it's one of the bigger ones.
Yeah. I do want to see The Arrival. I think that's going to be a slow burn, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, just like Sicario was and Prisoners.
Yep. But I think...
I do, too, by the way.
I didn't read this anywhere. This is not a trivia. This is just my own personal basis on seeing the movie. I think it's pretty obvious that Everett was written for George Clooney.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
I think... I mean, it's... They just play up to his character so much, and I think
they did. It was a good match.
They kind of just like let George Clooney do what he wanted to do, where like because it's such a different character than what he normally plays or has played since. Like he's never really done this Everett type character.
No, and that's you were saying this movie's filled with a bunch of character actors doing great characters, and I agree with that to a point. But I would say George Clooney is not a good character actor. He is like the leading man type.
Deadpan comedy was kind of, you know, totally out of how you see him.
And this was the first time you really saw that. I think he did fantastic with it, and I wish he'd go back to the character acting because he's really good at it.
Well, but that's that old thing. You know, you do something good once, everybody says, oh, that was great, and then you just never get back there again.
But you could.
But, you know, he's George Clooney.
I didn't see it.
George Clooney is not hurting. No, he's doing fine. He's making his boring war movies and being, you know, really cool.
The most recent Coens, he was in it again. Was he not playing a character similar to this or no? Where he's the actor in 1950s Hollywood?
Oh, he kind of is.
He is.
I forgot all about that movie. Hail Caesar is not.
It's not good.
Fantastic. You saw it? Finally?
I haven't, but I've heard just nothing fantastic
about it. It's disappointing.
So, yeah. That's what I've heard. I've kind of avoided it.
He's actually like, the trailers make him look like he's a big part of the movie, and he's in it for maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Really?
He's not the focus. It's all about Josh Brolin.
Well, I'm okay with that. I like Josh Brolin.
But he's doing a character actor kind of in a comedy bit, and it doesn't quite work here. Though Josh Brolin can be very funny, because I really liked him in Men in Black 3, a movie that should not have been entertaining, but was.
I like stupid movies, so it's fine.
This is something Ryan and I have argued about as well. I am a big fan of the dumb, stupid movie.
I tell you what.
I like stupid movies, too. Dude Where's My Car is just not quality. It is horrible. It is a bad movie.
You can't argue with the comedic excellence of Down Periscope.
Oh my god,
that is the best worst movie ever made.
I know it's probably not, and I think Kelsey Grammer regrets it to this day.
I always forget which one is which because Down Periscope and McHale's Navy came out like the same fucking day.
Well, not the one with the Roseanne Barr. Tom Arnold. Tom Arnold. Yeah, let's do a bunch of coke. Oh wait, we'll stop. You're fat. I'm gone. You know.
Down Periscope, is that the one? Did that one have French Stewart and what's his face? Is that the one where the dude from Half Baked does the whale calls?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
Harlan Williams. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the one where they get the old diesel sub and have to do the war
diesel
games.
Subs and play war games.
That movie's pretty entertaining.
It is. I mean, keep it simple.
Yeah.
So you can't sit there and say, I want to be, you know, man.
All right.
It's fine. Entertainment. That's the thing. It's a fine movie.
Did you say fine?
It's
really?
Fine.
Did you say fine?
It's not good.
Can I get a copy?
You said fine. It's not good. It's not bad. It is just fine. But with how much you watch that movie, it drove me crazy because like it was every night.
How many times have you strolled through our home and I'll be watching Under Siege?
Also,
gunfire all over the place. I'm snoozing. Why?
That's true. That's because you fall asleep during movies.
Well, because I drink a lot. But that's okay.
All right.
Oh.
I got to bring this back. Out of the top three, man, what character in the movie did you guys just enjoy their screen time the most?
Oh, we already went over this. Delmar.
No, I said
Everett.
Outside of those three.
Outside of those.
The other fantastical characters that are contributing to this movie.
Oh, it's hard. I gotta go with their kids, man. You got run over by a train. I mean, that is just, you're dead.
I love that whole He's bona fide. He's a suitor.
He's not bona fide. He gave him a ring.
He's a suitor.
He's a suitor.
Those kids, man. Yeah.
The whole family with them all chained up on the road walking. That they're great. Yeah, they're all great.
She counted to three.
I think I go with George Nelson.
Man, thank you.
I love George Nelson.
George Nelson is so much fun.
The whole cow scene, which we talked about a little bit, like that's,
you know what?
That was so shocking at the time.
Really offended my wife.
Yeah.
You know, that is just hilarious. He's shooting the cops and cows. Da, 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 da.
Well, that's also, that's a tie-in to the Odyssey, because in the Odyssey, he has to kill a god of the cows.
Oh, okay.
That's another little subtle nod to that whole franchise.
Well done, Kyle.
Yeah.
Well, you are bringing your A game tonight.
Hey, man, I really like this movie. Again, I like to research things. So.
Yeah.
I think my favorite line in the entire movie is a George Nelson line when he's got the cops behind him and he goes, "Hand me that chopper."
Yeah.
That chopper. That chopper. I love that whole delivery.
That and Delmar just immediately after is like, "Oh, George, not the cow.
Yeah. Not the livestock.
Oh,
George, some of your folding money's floating." that is just good.
I really enjoy when he's like, "If it hadn't just been for me getting saved, you know, this knocking over banks seems like a real hoot."
Well, it's that Piggly Wiggly knocked over.
Yeah, man. It's, again, that's just Delmar, man. Delmar's so much fun.
Yeah, that's true. I might have to go back on my my Everett pick. Delmar might be the winner.
I can't remember his name, but it's the guy that they have. He's the blind guy that owns the radio station.
It's Stephen Root's character.
Yes.
I don't know his name either, but the radio manager.
Yeah, man. And just, he plays that dumb.
Yeah. That old timey stuff.
And he's got that weird wonk eye.
Yeah.
Man,
it's like
they wrote that character with that dude in mind, and we're like, "Hey, we just want you to do this." And he's like, "Oh yeah, okay."
Now, that's a great character actor that I want to see more of. I love him, Stephen Root.
I love him too. And like, I don't know, man. There's not anybody in this movie I feel that is miscast or is underused. Like everybody is perfect, I feel.
Yeah, I don't think
even
I
like
have.
John Goodman.
Yeah, John
comes
Goodman.
In.
Yeah, it
of course,
it
representing the Cyclops from the Odyssey.
Let's just go out and say the Coen brothers are the people that get John Goodman the best.
Oh yeah,
or the most, because anytime he's in a Coen brothers movie, he's one of the brightest spots.
Yeah,
he's so good,
and he sticks out like, and you know it's John Goodman, but you're like, damn, that's. That's a completely different person.
Yeah, it is crazy. You can watch like all of his performances in the Coen Brothers movies, and they are vastly different from one another. Like from that to not Donnie, Walter and Big Lebowski.
Oh yeah.
To the weird traveling companion in like Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh, I thought you were gonna go with Barton Fink, where he's the weird neighbor.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, he's like this weird effeminate, like just he. Like Llewyn Davis catches a ride with this just traveler, and he's this weird effeminate guy with
like
a cane.
Fast and loud. We got a beer assistant. This
oh man,
awesome.
Yeah, he's good.
Thanks, sir.
Beer engineer Andy is your new title.
Beer engineer.
Beer engineer.
That really rhymed.
Engine beer. That doesn't work.
That'll be how I'm saying it later. That's for sure.
Beer engineer.
So when was the first time you saw this movie? Because I actually have a pretty good story about it, but like, what do you remember the first times?
Did we watch it together for the first time?
I think we did.
I think we might have. I couldn't remember if we watched it as a family or I watched it in school for a class.
You saw it before, and
I think you had
gifted it to me.
I did. Okay, so that's what it was. So
we had watched it together.
So I saw it in one of my political science classes, like when we watched Schindler's List for like a week, and then the next week was Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? What a fucking weird combination of movies. Yeah. But I did that, and I was like, this is great. Like, I think these people will like. I think my parents really like this, and I think I got it for you for Christmas, and we watched it. Yeah. And sure enough, I know you really liked it. Was Mom into it right away?
No, I don't think she was.
I don't think she was.
Second time either.
Yeah, I don't think she's really into this movie. It doesn't do it for her. Yeah.
Well, the livestock really got her. Wasn't so much the shooting, but when you know the car hit it and the car bounced.
That's pretty weird.
That's hilarious.
And I said, man, it's great. great.
My mom's one of those people that...
She really didn't
that,
like the frog getting thrown into the tree.
That's it. You know? My mom is okay with violence on screen as long as it's humans. You do animal violence and she is out.
I'm generally the same, but I'm just dogs. If you're fucking with a dog, I hate you.
Oh, yeah.
I'll watch somebody's fingernails get peeled off and I'm like, yeah.
I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, sure.
But I might watch a dog get hurt before I watch fingernails peeling.
No, I'm done. That's why I was so into John Wick. I was like, yeah, you fucking get those Russians, John Wick. You fucking get them.
I mean, it's really all the plot you need is somebody killed your dog. Let's murder everybody. On it. On board.
Why not? I mean,
you got a story about that.
What?
About Buckus getting hit.
Oh, yeah. We had a Malamute. You know.
Okay.
Nice dog. Went about 105. You know. Paper delivery guy run him over. Right? And this is why Pam, my wife, was pregnant with Brian. So we didn't have any kids yet, and we had a dog got run over by a pickup. Sorry to get surreal on you guys.
No, it's good.
But, you know, so we brought the dog to the vet, and it was kind of like, we can amputate it, or we pin its leg back together. We didn't have a kid, so, you know, we dropped the grand. This is back in 86.
Dropped the grand back then.
Yeah,
jeez, wow.
Pin his leg back together. And that was all fine. You know, I knew who did it. It might have been... smoking something I shouldn't have had, drinking way more than I needed to at a neighbor's house. And, well, you know, we just decided to go by his house. And
yes.
He happened to have a 357, so I figured, you know, hey, man, about 6 rounds through the engine block should square the deal. They call that justice.
All right. I would, too.
So there you go. My dad's like John Wick light.
Just admitted to a crime, right?
No.
Oh,
statute of limitations is well beyond that. You're fine. You're fine.
It's 20 years now. Yeah, you're okay.
I think the statute of limitation on murder is only like 11 years. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a Ford pickup. So
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Who cares? Who cares? No. So it's crazy how similar our growing ups were. But you grew up in a movie rental store. Mm-hmm. That's where you worked. My first job was at an actual movie theater.
It was.
And I happened to be working there at the time this movie came out. But I didn't know anything about movies.
Okay.
I didn't know who the Coen brothers were.
I didn't know anything like that.
And a buddy and I decided we were going to get high and we were going to go watch Save the Last Dance and make fun of it. Because that came out at the same time.
That sounds like a good way to spend your time.
Yeah, but the problem is, once you get high, then you start taking things serious.
Well, that was part of the... Like, we went in there, and man...
Oh, Save the Last Dance is the best.
No.
Well, no, I'm not saying go overboard, but then all of a sudden...
You
well,
get
I was
going to
laugh at that, but then all of a sudden you start saying, I get that.
Yeah, it wasn't that... It was just... It turned out to be way worse. We didn't make it 5 minutes into the movie. And we're like, this is awful. What the fuck are we doing? So we got up and we were going to just leave and go get high again. And then I was like, I saw a brother were out there and it had just started too. And I was like, let's go in here. Fuck it. I mean, what else? And so we went in there and man, we had a fucking blast that whole movie. And it was completely unexpected. Me and this guy, we were stoner metalhead kids. We loved Nine Inch Nails. And we loved every fucking song in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, everything was sticking out. And that is totally not in our wheelhouse.
Yeah. As Ryan Mother put it, it's a man's musical.
Yeah, I can see that.
She said, it's a musical. No, it's not. It's a man's musical. Well, you know, it's I learned not to argue because I'm always right. But she'll let me know I'm wrong.
It's funny you do. The music does evoke a real emotion. And like, even this last time watching it, I've talked about it many times, the way I feel when certain songs hit. But when they go into Constant Sorrow and you see George Clooney give up talking to his wife and run over and just start singing, man, I got goosebumps again because it's so powerful. Like, it's like, oh, fuck yeah, we're going to get it. Here we go.
Mm.
And then the whole crowd starts getting into it. And
yeah, so I was a teenager, and, you know, we do the burn. Of course, we went to the drive-ins back then. Yeah, it's 77. Star Wars was the big thing.
New Hope.
We'd burn it down, watch some Star Wars. I mean, nobody had ever seen anything like that, you know? And then, of course, you had the Cheech and Chong's, and you can never forget Fast Times at Ridgemont High. If you don't like Spicoli,
Spicoli,
you know?
My dad is the straightest-laced dude in the entire world, and Spicoli is his favorite movie character of all time.
Yeah, you know, anybody smacks him with a sneaker. Bum, bum, bum. Ah, good! Yeah, you stoned.
You got a pizza? Right here, dude.
classic, right? To order a pizza at class.
I know, right? Man.
And to have my favorite Martian be the guy at the door, you know?
Spicoli's one of those all-time like, I think he transcends that movie. Because Fast Times is fun, but man, you watch Fast Times to see Spicoli.
Yeah.
Like,
or Phoebe Cates' boobs.
Of course.
Either way.
I mean, that is
Sorry, fam. I've never made it through.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
Because you have it on DVD, and I think one day I got bored, and I was like, I need something to watch, so I went through your collection.
They got the lead in there, going in the pool, you know. Got
I didn't make it to any pool.
Masturbating.
Did not make it to any pool. I made it 10 minutes, and we never left the classroom. I was like, I'm not feeling this right now. And that's it. That's my experience with Fast Times. I've not seen it.
You got to watch it. I think it's a good movie.
We might do that.
It was one of the contentious ones, or one of the ones that was maybe brought up for Stoner Movie September, and it just didn't make the cut, but... I'm willing to give it another chance. I just have no connection with it.
You got to get through that initial. You got to let it go.
It's a slow burn, Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Slow burn. Okay. Right. There you go.
I'm back in now.
Yeah. See, yeah. I turned that around. I got.
I can't wait for everybody to die.
I mean, it's classic 70s stuff. You know, open the van door, smoke pouring out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've said all my pieces about this film. I've never met anybody that doesn't like this movie.
Well, my mom's not too crazy about it, but
she didn't like the livestock shit, you know. She's something like, you know, save the whales, fuck the whales, man.
That's one thing we agree on, fuck the whales.
Yeah, I was in the Navy, and to sidetrack, just going back to the whale thing, you know, we were just cruising the Atlantic, you know, out there in the middle of nothing. Been getting up to 5-6 days, look around, no land. Doo-doo-doo. All of a sudden, boom, the whole damn boat shakes. We had a damn whale.
Damn. You think they know, too, blasting that sonar out, man. Jeez.
But, yeah, sorry to sidetrack.
No, it's okay.
For those involved in PETA, we didn't stare towards it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't think anybody.
Damn,
mine's got
to be a foot long. They should be able to see this big gray bitch coming.
The big gray bitch is what we called our first grade teacher. Big gray bitch.
Really?
No.
No, it's not.
The white first grader talks about bitches.
Oh man, that was my first prostitute in Italy. Man, she was like 60.
That's not true.
No, I'm joking. That can't be but true. But it was good.
What was good?
All right, well, I think at this point we're going to have to R-U-N-N-O-F-T. And we're going to have to, I think we're going to call this.
On that note?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, do you have anything else you want to say about the movie?
No, I thought we were sidetracking.
I think we can wrap up and kind of give our opinions or thoughts on the movie. Just
break.
Wind it down.
I'd like to do a bonus round with your dad.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to.
So I think we're going to do that. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey, that's my edit cues. So, he's not going to do it at all.
Here you go.
No, he's not. He's just not
going to
do it.
Oh, no, fuck you. I'm going to just draw this out as long as possible so you're going to cut it out.
All
right, so. Hey, but anyway, man, I'm sorry about the kids stuff, but man, you did it. You got to own it.
He's coming back from the break, man. Your dad's classic. He knows what he's
doing. But man, be honest, man, I'll make you feel better. You know, I was like in second grade and I shit myself.
What?
You know?
Dad.
We're going to get into all this.
A cop had to drive me home and he wouldn't let me sit down in the back seat.
You shit yourself.
We can share those stories.
Well, you know, sometimes I was being polite. I was letting everybody go to the bathroom. Well, yeah. Waited too long. Hence, shit happens, you know?
Oh, my God. Forrest Gump was written for you then, because that was that big motto in that movie.
Shit does happen.
Shit happens.
Exactly.
So, you fucking waited and let other people go, and you shat yourself.
Then shit, man. Corns and everything. I don't know what it is about corns. You could probably rinse them off and eat them again.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Stop that.
Man, Ryan, thank you for inviting your dad on the podcast. This has been a great episode.
Yeah. And we didn't talk politics. Awesome.
No, yeah. That was a big key. We're done with politics. We had one politics episode. We're done.
We're done.
We're not going to talk about it. So, oh, brother, we're out there, though, man.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who hasn't seen this movie. I don't know anybody that doesn't like this movie outside of the cow scene and your mom in it. So,
Chance of making back on the show?
No, I don't know. I don't know about that. Well, we'll let our viewers decide right in if you think he should come back or not.
Well, you only got like six, right?
Yeah, that's about right.
I love your dad so much.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Live with him.
So then do we know their names? What is it? Timmy, Louise, Eleanor, and who?
I don't know. Bruce, thank you for being
you're
here.
You're on my truck with Timmy.
Oh, man. Right here, guys. Thank you for
Eleanor.
Having me.
You went with, like, the 60s. We don't have, like, those names.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go, like, Dom and Millennial.
Oh, like Pitbull and Skank Rust.
Skank Rust.
Shingles. Do you got an old person?
What the fuck is happening?
They might have had, you know, the measles. All of a sudden, you get shingles. Fuck. You can't put them on a house. What good are they?
All right. That's it. We're out of here, folks. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Ryan.
Oh, thank man. Thank you for having me, guys. Enjoyed it too much, but I enjoyed it.
Well, we'll catch you guys next time, man. I guarantee you we will have your dad back on the show.
All right. And I'll try to get over my shy stage. We'll be good. All
right. Grind out, everybody. Bye.
Hi, this is Ryan, and if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.